Yeah, buddy. Welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 139 of the podcast, your NFL Week 6 edition. Great to have you guys with us today. Thank you so much for your continued support. A good friend of mine going way back to when I got started in this business, Rob Pozzola out of Toronto, sports bettor, handicapper, all around great dude. He's going to join us in just a few minutes to break down the Week 6 NFL card. But for right now, without any further ado, because it's running so hot, here comes this week's six-point teaser. Boom, baby. Wasn't anything special last week. Rams over Seahawks, Saints over Redskins. Our six-point teaser of the week hits. It is now 4-1 on the season. This week, nothing fancy. Take Minnesota from -10 to -4 at home against Arizona. Take Green Bay from -9.5 to -3.5 against the Niners on Monday night. Arizona scored its first win of the season last week at San Francisco, courtesy of a +5 turnover differential. Sorry, but that's just not going to happen in Minnesota against a Vikings team that is 35-15-1 against the spread over its last 51 home games. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are just 3-7 against the spread over their last 10 road dates. As for element two of our six-point teaser, speaking of the Niners, fade this banged-up, walking, wounded roster in Green Bay Monday night to complete the six-point teaser. The Packers have played some highly questionable football this season, but Green Bay is still good enough to play competent football under the Lambeau Field lights on Monday night against this depleted 49ers roster. So to recap your six-point teaser of the week, take Minnesota from -10 to -4 against the Arizona Cardinals, and take the Green Bay Packers from -9.5 to -3.5 against the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. He's a professional sports bettor, a handicapper, but more importantly, a good friend of mine going way back. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pozzola. Rob Pozzola joining us here on the Sharp 600. Buddy, it's always a pleasure. How's life been treating you?
It's going well, Joe. It's going well. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan. Obviously, we have football now, but basketball and hockey starting up, baseball playoffs. This is my favorite time of the year to talk sports.
Is it weird that I ask you how you're doing and then we go live and I ask you again how you're doing? I don't know why I do that. I figure we should just roll rather than ask everyone how they're doing five times before you get through it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like that too, but I think that's like an inner Canadian thing with me that I'm used to asking people how they're doing all the time. I'm not sure with the American thing for you.
You know, this year with the new rules in the NFL that are designed to increase scoring, have you found that requiring a big adjustment in your handicapping approach?
It's not a big adjustment for me. I mean, most of what I do is mathematical. I'm a stats guy. I took stats in university. I model games and I try to put a number on games. That kind of stuff is accounted for in the number of plays that each team is running per game. So the models will pick that up, and over time it just starts to account for it itself. So from my perspective, it doesn't really change anything. I mean, over the course of the years, there will be certain things that I do specifically notice. I mean, in the last 5 years or so, I think the bye week has really diminished in value, things like that. But from my own personal perspective, I don't make any adjustments. The model will catch on to that.
10 games on the card this week that have a point spread of 3.5 or less. So this is going to be a tight one. Let's start with Cleveland and the Chargers. Personally, I feel that we're allowing some past bias to creep into our approach with the Cleveland Browns. I keep saying to anyone who will listen, and that's very few people, that if the aliens came down and landed, and this was the only NFL season they had a chance to watch, they would think the Browns are an okay team. Second in the league in rushing, first in turnover differential. You know, they're making some plays with a nice young quarterback, but I believe that because of all of the years of futility, that perhaps we still undervalue them. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, but it's very difficult to value them correctly, especially because they also had a game and a half earlier in the year with Tyrod Taylor, who's not at quarterback now. So there's such a small sample size of what we've seen with this Browns team and Baker Mayfield that it's just very difficult to value them. And you almost have to look at past games going back to last year to get a gauge of how things are. Now, with that said, I think the Cleveland Browns are actually a good football team, or at least league average right now. When you look at what they've done this year, they're a few plays away from being 5-0, and that's not an exaggeration. I know that they're 2-2-1, but a couple breaks going their way, and they're a 5-0 football team right now. So I get that. Early money showing this week for the Cleveland Browns. to me, I just don't see much of an edge in this game. These are two teams that I'm actually high on, and I know the Chargers have not played well this year. Obviously, Joey Bosa missing on defense is hurting them so far. They did get Corey Luget back last week, which is going to help them. If I was playing this game, I'd look to play the over, and I know some sharp money brought this number down earlier in the week, but I like over 45 right now. I think there's going to be points in this game. I think Baker Mayfield can move this ball in the Chargers' defense. Don't look at last week against Baltimore. The Ravens have the best defense in the league from a yards-per-play standpoint. They'll be able to move the ball. The Chargers will answer. That's what Philip Rivers does. I like the over 45 in that game.
Wembley Stadium in London, England. It's Seattle versus Oakland. Perhaps Seattle's weakest point is their ability to protect quarterback Russell Wilson, but the Raiders arguably have the worst pass rush in the league. I love Seattle here. I love laying the 2.5 with the Seahawks. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, both of these teams, to me, are pretty much carbon copies of each other, except Seattle has a much better quarterback. That's how I see these two teams. They're both struggling on defense. Neither can really get a pass rush going. Offensive line issues on both sides of the ball. But Seattle does have Russell Wilson, and that's not the great equalizer in this game. That's the great advantage in this game against Carr. Now, the problem for me is that this game is taking place in London, and I just don't know how to value these games. If this was a neutral site game played in the U.S., somewhere maybe on the West Coast, fine, I would consider Seattle, but I don't like to take unknowns or try to guess with unknowns. I read some stuff today about the travel plans for these teams. Seattle flew out earlier in the week. They actually had a science to the reason that they flew out earlier to get their bodies on the right body clock going into that game. I read John Gruden's quotes, and he basically said, I don't like to fly far distances. I get nauseous and I get sick, and we're just going to fly out whenever we feel like it. So just based on that alone, I mean, it's a narrative, but I would say Seattle goes into the game more well-prepared. I would not bet Oakland in that game.
Would you say Gruden is in employing new-age technology in the way he approaches his travel?
Gruden is something else. I mean, that's a $100 million mistake, and there's no doubt in my mind. And I still cannot believe that that actually happened. I feel like I'm living in a dream world with John Gruden coaching a team in 2018.
Imagine covering them in the Bay Area on a regular basis. It's like, what do you say? You can only bring up the Khalil Mack mistake so many times as he continues to wreck shop for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and it's not an easy fan base to deal with. I've had some personal Twitter wars with the Oakland Raiders fan base in the past, for sure. So, I mean, I don't envy that position, that's for sure.
Second week in a row, the Rams are going on the road and laying a touchdown or more, this time in Denver against a non-conference opponent who's coming off a road loss against the Jets. Dangerous proposition laying the 7 with the Rams. Do you see yourself liking the Broncos?
I do. I've already bet the Broncos this week. I would still bet them. I mean, they're still 7 across the board right now. Here's the thing with the Rams. I love the Rams. They're a great football team. They're the best team in the NFL. Sean McVay, in my opinion, he's already in that tier with Belichick in terms of coaches. But everyone knows this, and everyone wants to bet the Rams, and you're rarely going to get a fair price with the Rams. The Denver Broncos have a big home field advantage. Talk about a scheduling spot for the Rams, but they go from Seattle to Denver, two of the toughest places to play in the entire league. And one matchup I really like in this game for the Broncos is their running game against that Rams run defense. We saw a couple weeks ago that Monday Night Football game with the Broncos and the Chiefs. The Broncos were able to run the ball early, keep that Chiefs offense off the field. They had a lead late in that game, and they ended up blowing it. But I expect a similar type of game here. I'm not sure that the Rams will lose, but I think the Broncos can do enough with the running game to keep this game close. The Rams will score their points, but 7 points, it's too many. I do like Denver this week.
You're a Cowboys guy. Your team is catching 3 at home against Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. How do you see them faring?
I don't see them faring well, but this is one of those games where you really, you know, I look at it and I'm struggling to make a case for either of the teams. Dallas, I don't know how they score in this game. I really don't know how they score. They have no passing game whatsoever, and now they go up against two of the best cornerbacks in the game. Sure, they can try to run the ball, but if you're Jacksonville and you're employing a game plan for the week, you're not worried about the Cowboys wide receivers. You're worried about Ezekiel Elliott and shutting down the running game. So I don't see how Dallas scores, but trusting Blake Bortles on the road right now, I mean, it's like lighting money on fire. He's just such a horrible quarterback, makes so many mistakes. I would still lean to Jacksonville in this situation. They did get blown out against KC last week. They're probably a lot better than they look, and they are facing an inferior opponent. I just don't think the Cowboys are good. They could have got blown out on Sunday Night Football against Houston. That box score, if you look at it, the final score is extremely misleading in that game. So Jacksonville or nothing, but it's just very tough for me to bet the Jags right now.
Sunday Night Football game of the week. It's the Chiefs catching 3 in New England to take on the Patriots. This feels like that rare situation where the public looks at the Chiefs as a dog and says, Yeah, I like to bet underdogs. I'm going to play the Chiefs here plus the points. They've been awesome. Meanwhile, we all know the history of Belichick versus young quarterbacks, especially at Gillette Stadium. Are you siding with the Patriots here?
I mean, at three, I'm siding with the Patriots for sure. Three minus 120, minus 115, that's where I'm looking to get involved with the New England Patriots. I haven't bet it yet because I haven't been able to find that number. I'm not interested in laying 3.5, especially with Patrick Mahomes being able to lead a backdoor cover and it potentially put them in that range. I just don't like the 3.5 as a number. But I agree with everything you said there. Also, you have to take into account that New England's had 10 days to prepare for this game, so extra rest for them. Now, that's obviously a little bit factored into the price already, but Belichick, with that extra time to prepare for a rookie quarterback, as good as he may be, that's an advantage to them. And everyone keeps talking about how are the Patriots going to stop this Chiefs offense. I look at it as how is the Chiefs defense going to stop the Patriots offense? Yes, they stopped Blake Bortles last week. I get it. That's fine. But that's Blake Bortles, not Tom Brady. And when you look at what the Patriots do well, they get the ball to their running backs. They can use Gronk over the middle of the field. Those are things that this Kansas City Chiefs defense really, really struggles with. So wouldn't be surprising for me to see Kansas City humbled this week, but they do look good. I'm not interested in laying a big number with them. -3, -120 would be the number that I would target to get in on New England.
Before I let you go, is there anything else you're keeping a close eye on this weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple of games that I like. I like the Redskins in a bounce back spot. I know everybody saw them get blown out on Monday Night Football, but sort of ran into a buzzsaw in that game. Drew Brees trying to set the record for passing yards. New Orleans, huge home field advantage in a primetime game. I'm not sold on Carolina. I don't think that they're very good. I think their 63-yard field goal to win over the Giants last week looks so much worse now considering what we saw with the Giants last night against the Philadelphia Eagles. And this Carolina defense giving up 6.5 yards per play this season. Alex Smith he does not inspire confidence, but I believe he can move the ball against this Panthers defense. So I do like the Redskins. And I'm also a big believer in Baltimore this year. And we talked about Cleveland at the beginning of the show. Baltimore, Cleveland, those were good teams playing last week. Don't put too much stock into Baltimore struggling against the Browns last week. The Browns are actually good. Baltimore's peripherals are very good. Tennessee's been lucky this season. A lot of results that could have easily swung in the other direction. Baltimore laying less than a field goal, I like that. So Redskins and Ravens this week for me.
Follow him on Twitter. It's one of the more valuable accounts out there, at Rob Pizzola. The proper spelling is located in the bio of this podcast. Sports bettor, handicapper, good buddy of mine, Rob Pizzola, with us here on the Sharp 600. Rob, I always appreciate it, my man. Thanks so much. It's always great catching up. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Joe. Enjoy the games.
No more. No, not tonight.
2-2 last week with our straight up NFL picks. We are now 12-8 overall on the season. Not bad, not outstanding, which is what we strive for. Here come four picks for week 6. All right, game number 1, Cleveland +1 against the Los Angeles Chargers Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, First Energy Stadium. The Cleveland jokes never get old, but when it comes to handicapping sports, you need to eliminate all emotion, humor included, from the equation. The reality here is that too many people view this iteration of the Browns as the same thing we've seen time and time again, which is why you get a point spread like Cleveland +1 in this situation. Very favorable to us. The truth of the matter is that the Browns lead the league in takeaways and rank second in rushing. Take note that the Chargers are 0-6 against the spread over their last 6 encounters with the Browns and 0-4 against the spread over their last 4 games following an against the spread win. Long travel, early start time are two more reasons why we'll fade the Bolts and ride with the Browns in this spot. Game number 2, Seattle -2.5 against the Oakland Raiders, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Wembley Stadium in London, England. Rather than prove to be the catalyst for something bigger and better, the Raiders went from winning their first game of the season in Week 4 to producing their biggest dud of the year just 7 days later. Oakland has covered the number in just 5 of its last 19 games and has virtually no pass rush to speak of, which unfortunately means that the Silver and Black are unlikely to take advantage of Seattle's Achilles heel. Look for big games from Russell Wilson and Chris Carson in this one as the Seahawks find a way to win by at least a field goal. Game number 3, Pittsburgh +2 at Cincinnati, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Paul Brown Stadium. The Steelers have been absolutely brutal this season, but this is a game every handicapper has circled on the calendar for two key reasons. First, Pittsburgh is an astounding
18-7-1 against the spread over its last 26 games against the Bengals. Second, the Steelers are an even more unbelievable 16-4-2 against the spread over their last 22 road games against the Bengals. History not on Cincinnati's side, and neither are my pockets. Give me the black and yellow plus two. Next up, Tennessee plus three against Baltimore. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern, 1:25 p.m. Pacific, Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Everybody saw the Titans flame out at Buffalo last week, so there's a good chance we're scoring at least a modicum of value in a home dog that just so happens to find itself in a bounce-back spot against the Ravens squad that has covered the number just one time in its last five trips to Nashville. Further, the Titans are 5-0 against the spread over their last five home games and 7-3 against the spread over the last 10 games overall. This is our Hold Your Nose special of the week. Give me the Titans plus the field goal. To recap, Cleveland plus one over the Chargers, Seattle minus 2.5 over the Raiders, Pittsburgh plus two over the Bengals, Tennessee plus three over the Ravens, and your six-point teaser is Minnesota and Green Bay. That is a wrap for episode 139 of the podcast. Thank you to Rob Pizzola, my good buddy, for joining us today. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks to all of you, everybody. Be well, have an outstanding weekend, and best of luck.